If you run a business large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes. Because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you, George, for that intro. We're here with another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. As our listeners know, this show is about real ideas, real people, real businesses, real success stories on 77 WABC. This show, Mind Your Business, is all about you. It's about how you can get ahead in today's business world. We share marketing and business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. Each week, we feature a high-profile guest and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Just a quick recap. Last week was an off-the-charts interview we had with Jeffrey Hazlett, global business celebrity and a best-selling author of the new book, Think Big, Act Bigger. How could I get stumped on that? Think Big, Act Bigger. I wonder where it's holding by now, Pesach. I mean, last week, Jeffrey said on the air that he had sold already 250,000 copies in under 3 weeks.
Yep, it was a crazy number.
That's an unbelievable number, and that's how good the book is. And, of course, we identified it as a, legal adrenaline rush. He liked that a lot, the legal adrenaline rush. Now, there's a treat. And that is, besides the fact that this is available on the iTunes channel, if you go to iTunes, you type in Yitzhak Saflis, Yitzhok Saftlas, all the previous shows are up there. They'll be called episodes. There's already, 13 or 14 up there. Of course, thank you for the great work, George Flowers, here, of making us sound so good. We appreciate that. And Chris, thank you. You go through the list. Matt Britton, Captain Sullenberger. I mean, we have an incredible list of interviewees, and each one of them shared great business advice and strategies that you could use in your business, whether it's a small business, large business, your sole proprietor, etc. That's what this show is all about. Later on in the show, we will get to our a case study of Bottom Line Marketing Group, and that is the Global Shop 2015 trade show booth that we did for Edison Litho, which won Best of Show. That's a big deal. 700 booths, and that is the retail, that's the show for retail print in Vegas every year, and we are the booth that we done won Best of Show. We're going to talk about it. We're going to break it out, and I'm here, of course, with Pesach Trapper, who really I can't thank enough, the producer of this show, and oversees all the work that goes through Bottom Line Marketing Group. Well, let's get to tonight's guest. We have with us in studio none other than Jack Friedler, the president of City View Commercial. Some background about our distinguished guest. Jack Friedler is the president of City View Commercial, a commercial real estate firm headquartered in New York City. City View leases space to some of the most noted retailers in America, including Macy's, Sears, Walgreens, Chase, McDonald's, Rite Aid, Hollister, and so many others. City View Commercial owns and manages over 5 million square feet of commercial real estate. That's a lot of real estate. Additionally, City View Commercial has apartment complexes throughout New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Jack Friedler. Jack, thank you for being with us on the show today.
How are you, Yitzhak? Thank you for having me. Really a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Our conversations are always stimulating.
Well, thank you.
I love this idea with the radio show. I think your insight could really help other business entrepreneurs understand what is important and what are the sticking points, and it's always good to have these conversations.
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. We're going to jump right into the questions here because, as we said at the beginning of the show, the questions that we ask are the ones that are in the mind of our listeners, and we want to get that advice and perspective from you. How does City View Commercial determine a property's long-term value?
Okay, so that is a great question, and obviously there's a lot more behind that question that meets the eye. Real estate, in my opinion, and real estate is about bringing value to the property. There's different kinds of real estate that people purchase. There's multifamily apartment complexes that many own. There's retail, the commercial aspect to real estate. There's industrial, many different areas of real estate, and a lot to learn from each one. How does CityView determine which property to buy and which property not to buy? That has to do with the value that we bring to the real estate, and we have to focus on what value CityView brings to the real estate. Every property is different, but our firm has it broken down to two areas: retail and multifamily. Those are the two areas that we're focused on, and that's what we're buying. We own multifamily in New York, in New Jersey, and in Pennsylvania, and retail nationwide. Retail is our main arm. Retail is our main focus. And that began around 16 years ago when we bought our first shopping center. And we understood it from managing it, operating it, and bringing value to it. It was in a neighborhood that had tremendous need for shopping. We took an old warehouse, we converted it to a shopping center, and literally focused on the needs of the community and built a beautiful shopping center. Got a supermarket there, got a Family Dollar there, got whatever the neighborhood needed, and that was the value that we brought. Our determination of buying real estate is strictly on the value that we could bring.
Very interesting. I mean, you have to analyze the value that it ultimately will bring to the community as well. That's a very interesting point. I mean, it's not just real estate transactions. I mean, you have to analyze the neighborhood, the demographics.
Many people come into the real estate market and they're looking for a return on their investment. They're investing in real estate because they want a return on their investment. Real estate is a tremendous vehicle on how to invest your money. Besides the obvious facts of the return that the real estate gives us, there's tremendous tax benefits to real estate investments and so on. But that's what gets many real estate investors into trouble, because they're focusing on the returns and they're not focusing on the asset. My focus and the focus of our investors is to focus on the asset. We want to see where the value can be in a few years from today. If we feel that the value could be greater in the future than it is today, regardless of changing markets, we feel very confident in our product. And those were the investments that always did well for us. In the case of the shopping center, we saw a tremendous need for shopping in that area, and we built a shopping center. Sometimes we could come to a shopping center and we could redevelop the shopping center, which serves the needs of the community that services that shopping center.
Fascinating. Now, if I may, just to go off script over here, you said that you have properties nationwide, commercial properties, and that you have apartment complexes located in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, which is more limiting. Of course, that's a very wide area, tri-state area, but is there a reason for that?
Yes. I would say retail and multifamily are two different animals. They are two different businesses. Mm-hmm. Multifamily, you're buying the property because you're buying an asset, and you're buying an asset that has a value to it. Now, I need to know the areas where I'm buying an apartment building, mm-hmm. because if you go start buying apartment buildings further out, you know, there's a lot of different cities around
sure.
the country.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes we could take a plane and go to the city and think we understand it, but we don't understand it the same way the people who live there understand
sure.
it. So the big mistake a lot of out-of-town buyers are making is they come into a neighborhood and they apply what they learned in the New York market or in the New Jersey market or in the Pennsylvania market, and they try to apply it to other neighborhoods. But they don't realize every neighborhood is different. You could buy a beautiful apartment complex which was showing a great return for the last 20 years, but little did you know, a mile down the road, they're building another apartment complex, as opposed to retail. Retail, it's all the same laws apply to every single retailer and apply to every single property. And if you could understand the fundamentals behind retail, you could buy it anywhere. And that's the reason why we do buy retail nationwide as opposed to multifamily.
Very, very interesting. We're going to take a short commercial break. Then we'll be right back. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business Show with Yitzhak Seflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back with the Mind Your Business program here with Yitzhak Seflis on 77 WABC. Just a reminder out there, you could connect with me on social media various different ways, on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Yitzhak Seflis, Yitzhok Saftlas. And one of the best reasons to do that is actually to know who our upcoming guests are and to have the various forms of information that we have following an interview. In fact, following last week's interview with Jeffrey Hazlett, an incredible off-the-charts interview, we made a YouTube clip. It's around a 17-minute clip that features the highlights of the video, a fantastic clip. And if you want some really great business tips and advice, Jeffrey Hazlett is the source. And we have that on a great YouTube clip. You could get it by, we're going to have it up on the website shortly, but if you follow me on any of the social media listings on Yitzhak Seflis on either Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, you would have seen it, and you can go to that alternatively as a way of finding it. Well, we're going to continue with our special guest in studio, Jack Friedler from City View Commercial, and here's where the next question I wanted to ask you, Jack. As president of a real estate company, you're looking for deals all the time. You spot deals. How do you spot a great real estate deal?
That's a great question, Yitzhak. I think that's a very good question. I think the answer is more of a universal answer, and it doesn't only apply to real estate. And I really think you could understand from the way you run your business, and any entrepreneur who runs their own business could understand that.
Okay.
And it's very simple. It boils down to opportunity. Where is the opportunity? What can we do to take the opportunity that we have and really add value to that opportunity? You have a marketing company. You saw a need for a company such as yours. You took that out to the world, mm-hmm. and that's why you built a great company.
Thank you.
When it comes to real estate, same thing. I'm looking for an opportunity. If that means I'm looking for a building whose tenant pays a lower rent than market rate, that to me is an opportunity. If I have a building where I'm buying it 20% above market, but I have a tenant that will pay me 30% above market, a credit tenant, that's an opportunity. And sometimes that opportunity only applies to me and does not apply to another buyer. Hmm. So really focusing in on the opportunity is ideal, and really that is the way to build your real estate company and to build any business.
It's very interesting you say that because it's so true. I mean, the basics of a business are obviously, you know, linking up a buyer and a seller,
right,
and making it work. So it's not just, are there any other tips in particular that you can give on spotting a great, meaning not to take away from what you said. What you said is, of
right,
course, so
right, right.
is a great point and a general great point.
You know,
but is any for real estate?
I'll give you another way of looking at it. And I said this by the seminar that
right, the Winning Edge.
Yes,
because you
a great seminar.
Presenter.
Love the seminar.
Thank
just
you.
Like I love this radio station. The seminar was such a good place, such a good platform for all the different minds to come together
Thank you.
Work with each other, and that's what creates great businesses. But the answer is like this. You know, now we're living in an email world where most of the deals I get are through emails. You know, there's a lot of deals out there, and everyone asks the same question. What differentiates you from any other buyer?
Right.
Now, just honing in on your specific question, I think the answer is very clear. It's like the difference between a man and a woman shopping at a supermarket.
Okay.
You know, a woman shops at a supermarket. She knows exactly where she's going. She knows exactly what she's doing. She knows the prices of every item. She knows where every item is, et cetera, et cetera. A man goes shopping, or maybe just men like me,
you're
like yourself.
You're on,
I have a feeling.
Radio here.
I have a feeling. When a man goes shopping, he doesn't know anything about the super. I'll talk about myself. I go to a supermarket. I'm texting my wife. There's crumpled papers everywhere. There's so many things to figure out.
You're saying this live on the air, you know.
Yeah. But that being said.
Wait a second. Pesach, when you go shopping.
I get it as a text message. And then, like, when my phone starts dying, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do
now?
Yeah,
we just, it's a tough procedure. But you know what? That being said, once you know what you're doing in that supermarket, mm-hmm. you shop like a real shopper. Same thing in real estate. You're asking me, it's a bit of a broad question, but I'm trying to hone in on exactly the point. And the point is, know what you're looking for. You have to look through 10 deals or 20 deals a day. Sometimes I look through hundreds of deals a week. Mm. I could scan my emails through 30 deals and know exactly what works for us and what I should be looking at.
Fascinating. Now, the next point is, I understand that most real estate deals, if not all, have a number of investors as part of the group purchasing that particular investment. Once you find that deal, are there any secrets you could share on how to pitch it to investors?
Got it. So for me, I find that there are a few sets of investors, okay? There are private investors, such as doctors, lawyers, professionals. Anyone who's successful.
They just want to invest their money.
They want to invest their money.
Okay.
I mean, it could go all the way up to athletes. Athletes have money. They need to invest their money. Everybody needs to invest their money because money has a way of going away. Mm-hmm. But then you have other investors, more astute investors, more intelligent, more experienced investors.
For example?
I take back the word intelligent. They're all intelligent.
Okay,
the only difference is the astute investors really, really, really understand the deal well. They really understand the risk well. And when I partner with them, it's on a totally different level. And usually the way I look at investors, the only way I will bring in an investor that does not understand the deal is if I have other deals that literally performed to a much higher standard than I'm expecting in this deal, and that's when I bring in private investors. When I'm dealing on the larger deals, sometimes deals could go upwards of 40 million, 100 million, and so on. That's the time to partner with the people who understand the deals, because you don't have to sell them. The deal sells them on its own.
You know, it's very interesting you say that point, and Pesach can attest. Many times when we're talking with a prospective client for Bottom Line Marketing, so if the client needs an education on if marketing works or not, then usually I walk away from the table. If they understand the value of marketing, it's just that I need them to pitch why they should come to Bottom Line, then of course I'm all in. But if I have to educate them and they're not really, like what you're saying, they're not really that interested, just like, okay, what's going to be the return and how fast,
but they don't understand
the dynamics of it, it just doesn't work.
But Yitzhak, listen, first of all, I think your business in that sense is different than mine. I'll tell you why and tell me if you agree.
Let me hear.
You may disagree, but I think you will agree.
We may even have a fight on air.
Won't be the first.
Okay.
Anyhow, joking. Anyhow, that being said, when I've seen your work, and the reason why I've seen your work is because I've worked with you
on many
different deals and many different things that I needed marketing for. The minute I start telling you how to market, that's the minute I know that I'm in the wrong office. I don't want to tell Yitzhak Saflas how to market. I don't want him to tell how to do his business. I want him to tell me what the best tools are to get my product out there. So sometimes I feel like in your business, if a guy's going to come into your office and tell you how to do your job, I think it will be very difficult, as opposed to mine. Mm-hmm. They're not telling me how to do my job. They're my partner. They're my partner. We do the job together. And in life, and this is, again, I love your seminars and why I'm excited to be here today. Always important to communicate with your investors, to communicate with your clients, to communicate with even the staff in your office on a consistent basis, because that is really what brings it home. And that is really what I find very important. Communication between myself and my investors, and I guess in your business, communication between you and your clients.
But it's a very important point that you're raising, that overall communication is critical, but the communication between the investors that understand real estate as opposed to the investor that is just in it directly for the money, not understanding real estate, is probably different.
Yes. And I'll give you, I want to take it to a little bit of a higher level, okay? In 2008, there was a big real estate
collapse.
And who was the one that everybody blamed? I'll tell you who. Very simple. They blamed the banks, right? They came after all the banks. Why are you lending so much money to people who can't afford to borrow it?
Okay.
Now, I would say what happened to banks over the years is communication is lacking. When I started in the business, it was towards the end of that era.
Okay.
But when I started in the business, we used to have to meet with banks. We'd have to sit with the president of the bank. I'd have to build a relationship with them. I'd have to go out to dinner with them, lunch, breakfast. It took a lot of effort to build that relationship. Today, it's like you don't even have to sit at a closing table to close a deal. It's all done through email, fax, and technology.
Right, right.
So I do feel, getting back to the point, communication is key to the success of any business. And that's why I make it a very strong point to go to the shows, to go to the conventions, and to meet people. Because when you build that personal relationship, it's always the best start and always the best way to the future.
Great point. And there's more on that a little bit later. We're going to talk about technology. But now I want to ask you, back in 2014, you spoke at the Winning Edge Business Conference hosted by Bottom Line Marketing Group. In that presentation, you mentioned, you said a very fascinating point. You said a landlord of a commercial property must think like the retailer that's leasing the property. Why is that so important? You got to put yourself in their shoes. Why do you say that?
Okay, that's a very good question. You know, when I first started buying property in the beginning of my professional career, you know, it was the first time owning property. It's an experience. And I realized that every time I was calling a tenant to renegotiate their lease, let's say their lease comes due, or let's say, you know, in those days there were a lot of bankruptcies and all the leases had to be renegotiated or so on and so forth, I just found that it's very hard to negotiate when you don't know what's going on in the retailer's business. And I felt it was very important for me to understand from a retailer's perspective what's going on in the store. Moreover, I took that idea that I had and I said, why am I partnering with A, B, C, and D? Why don't I start partnering myself with the retailers? And today we have a handful, it's still a handful, but I have around five investors that have stores, and I could say between the five investors there's over maybe over 500 stores that they run. So all of a sudden I'm in their world, and they're like, Jack, you know, look at this rent and look at their sales and look at this location. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. He can't be at $100,000 a year. He can't be at this percentage, and that's something very important. That's why it's very important to think like a retailer.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Another question, Jack. You own properties across the United States. How does a commercial real estate firm oversee and manage properties across the United States?
Very good question. As I stated before, with the multifamily property, we really feel it's important that they
right,
should
tri-state
be close to home and so on. But let me just go directly into retail. The size of properties that we purchase out of New York, New Jersey, out of the tri-state area, out of Pennsylvania, out of the driving distance area, we try to buy properties at a size that it can afford a manager for that property. In the case of a mall, for example, each mall has a mall manager. The beautiful thing about a mall manager, he's walking, talking, eating, and sleeping that mall. Each mall has a leasing person. They're walking, talking. I know every competing shopping center in the neighborhood, every mall in the neighborhood. I know every lease that's coming up in the neighborhood. And it's not because I'm there myself. I can't do it myself. But I have tremendous mall managers, people that are out there for me. And they're out there working for me. And I incentivize them also. I incentivize them. Do this. Bring value to me and I'll bring value to you. All of a sudden, this property becomes their property. And that's a very, very good way of me overseeing and managing properties out of town.
So you're saying it's you have a great team in place locally on the ground in every location.
Exactly. And that's why it's important. If I'm going to now buy a property in Houston, Texas, it can't be 30,000 feet. It has to be 300,000
feet. Right.
So it has to be something larger which can't afford it. Otherwise, I'm not out there.
Carry the personnel.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gotcha. Now, here's an interesting point. You touched on this before, and you spoke about it at Bottom Line's Winning Edge Conference. I'm going to quote, "There's more to closing a deal than exchanging pleasantries and small talk."
Yes.
I know you got excited when you spoke about that. Maybe you could explain. And it's important for people to hear from someone like you. Because, you know, you said your deals are coming by email. So, like, why is that important? Do I really need to talk to anyone anymore?
Yeah, you know, let me give you an example. I mean, there are a lot of brokers that are going to call you up and bring you a deal. They don't understand anything about the deal. And because they don't understand anything about the deal, all they ask you is it closing? Is it closing? Is it closing? That's just someone from such an outside perspective. They don't understand what is going on in the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're closing a deal, you're sitting with another human being. You're sitting with another company. You're buying a property off of somebody. You have to understand who that person is. You have to know that the needs of the person. So closing a deal is not only about, obviously closing is the final segment of it. Mm-hmm. What's most important is understanding the property and understand the needs of your seller. When you understand the needs of your seller and you know how to work with people and you know how to interact with people, you'll get deals closed. And that's why I keep on going back to emails and communication. I just, I don't like all these emails. I want to get on the phone with someone. I want to hear his voice. I want to know if he's a real seller. Is he a real buyer? Is he a man of integrity? Those are the important things to us. And sometimes we only find that out after 3 months of working with him because we never communicated properly.
Wow. So again, you definitely leverage technology. I'm going to talk about that in a bit.
Right.
But you're saying that it's so important in order to really understand a human being, to talk to him. I mean, of course, listen, I understand that as a marketing firm, but I just, it's amazing with Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and everything is kind of, people are hidden behind social media and stuff.
You know,
in the business world, you're saying how important it is. Yeah.
You know, I'll give you an example. You know, I was, you know, you talk to high school kids.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, why do I need to learn psychology or college, you know,
or
college students who major in psychology that don't end up utilizing that and they go into business and they're like, I just wasted a class. No, you didn't. Understanding another person is integral to every single deal. And we need to understand our seller. Sometimes the seller doesn't even want more money. He wants you to close before year end because he has tax ramifications. Right. You got to know what he needs. And if you can accomplish what he needs, you could both win.
It's amazing. I'm going to refer to a previous interview we had here on Mind Your Business on 77 WABC with Matt Britton. He's the CEO of MRY, the author of the book Youth Nation, and he talked about even though of course his specialty is all about social media and everything, but he talked about that any account that they work with at MRY, the need to understand the person on the other side of the table.
You know, I've been in your office. The conference room is downstairs.
Thank you.
And you have a table in your office. I haven't seen your office is your conference room. Your business is about meeting other people and getting to know them.
That's true.
And I do you know, and that's you know, when people meet you, they know they're going to get a great product.
Thank you.
Like when the first time I sat down and went over my business with you and you told me your ideas, that's when I knew it. But if I didn't have that, it wouldn't have worked.
Thank you. So true. So true. Now I want to get into, this is a question that I'm sure is on everyone's mind. Again, we're here with Jack Friedler, president of Cityview Commercial. As an owner and operator of malls and retail properties nationwide, how are brick and mortar stores affected by e-commerce?
Wow. So that's really a conversation.
Sure,
and
let's talk.
The hot topic today.
Correct.
You know,
can they coexist?
Yeah, you know, you pass every house, you see boxes from Amazon, you see boxes from retail, from all the different retailers now shipping, and you're saying, what do you need malls for? What do you need shopping centers for? What do you need all this for? Now, to give you an example, shopping centers today in many different cities are operating at a higher profit than malls. Now, back in the beginning, in the day when the mall started, to get into a mall was astronomically expensive. You couldn't get into a mall. So how did shopping centers become so popular? The answer is because retailers learned how to build their business model around shopping. So they said, why go to a mall and pay $50, $60, $80, $100, $200 a foot when I could go to shopping centers and pay between $15 and $30 a foot?
Now, Jack, can you just explain for the listeners the difference between a shopping center and a mall?
Yes, I will tell you. And I'll circle this back to e-commerce.
Yes,
obviously, this all makes a very important difference. The difference between a shopping center and a mall, traditionally, it's just a mall's indoors, a shopping center is outdoors. That's the difference.
Okay.
A mall is usually
simple
indoors.
Way of understanding.
Yes.
Good.
Now, the idea, now just going back to that shopping center, so since retailers learned how to do well in the shopping centers, those retailers flourished in the shopping center business. Look at the retailers, Target, Walmart, and you could go down the list, all the supermarkets, Ross Dress for Less, Burlington Coat Factory, so on and so forth, Lowe's, Home Depot, I could go on and on. Who are our mall tenants today? Macy's, Sears, JCPenney. Well, Sears is pretty much a real estate company today. If you ever walk into the store, you feel embarrassed that you walked in there. And I really, really say before you hit e-commerce, focus on your stores, meaning a lot of the stores are not up to par. They are not up to par. And if you look at the retailers that are up to par, okay, take L Brands. They run Bath & Body Works, Victoria's Secret. They are up over 20% in every one of the properties that I'm at. I'm like, hey, what happened to e-commerce? Look at American Eagle. They had a hard time in their business, but they're flourishing now. Aeropostale is just the opposite. They didn't get their act together, and their business is down the tubes, closing stores left and right. Their brand is pretty much done with. And I think that the first thing you got to do is focus on your store. Now let's move that over to e-commerce, mm-hmm. okay? E-commerce has a huge impact on the retail world, a huge impact. If I want a charger, why would I go to Radio Shack when I could order it on Amazon? Right. I get it in 2 days. I have to go to Radio Shack and start looking through it. So, yes, it did impact the retail world, definitely impacted the retail world. But now you're starting to see retailers having their own e-commerce capabilities. Now, why would I shop at something online called shirts.com right. when I know my local store, I understand their shirts, understand right. their sizes. I know,
can try it on or whatever the case
exactly.
is.
Exactly. But of course, there is a benefit to shopping over e-commerce. We all mm-hmm. know the benefit, trying mm-hmm. on clothing and so on. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, e-commerce is supposed to help the retailer, not work against the retailer. Mm-hmm. There are many retailers that are allowing their e-commerce business to help their stores. Stores are a source of advertisement. I mean, you're in the marketing business,
right.
correct? Now,
sure.
let me ask you a question. I have a company I want to start. I bet you've been approached many times. Okay. How do people know your company? I mean, obviously everyone wants to be on the top of Google. How do they get there?
Right,
how would
so,
they get there?
Right, it has to be charted out. Obviously, we have to study their account.
Right. So companies like yours are figuring out a way to get them advertised, to right. get it into people's right. heads. So people are putting up billboards or doing whatever they
right.
want. But the retailers have their own benefit. They have stores all over the place, and that's promoting their e-commerce business. So all of a sudden now, and then I'm going to just take it one step further, and then I'll end that question.
Sure.
You know, Amazon now has come out with a new idea. First, they tried the whole drones thing. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe there'll be drones flying around dropping packages in front of our houses. But the real idea is same-day delivery. People want instant gratification. Now, let me ask you, how are you having same-day delivery from a warehouse in the middle
in Texas,
of Alabama?
Alabama.
Exactly. The answer is that the retailers are going to start delivering it, you know?
Amazing.
And if the retailers start delivering it to your door, there's no reason why not to shop from there. So, yes, it's a changing world. Technology has not only overtaken the retail
right.
world.
Right.
I mean, we're here in New York City. The yellow cab used to be $1 million a medallion.
Right.
I wouldn't buy one for $200,000. Why? It's because Uber is the technology right. of Uber has just outshone the cab business. And instead of the yellow cabs fighting and begging Mayor de Blasio to help them out, maybe they should create their own app and start realizing that in this ever-changing world, if you're not up to par, you're going to lose.
Fascinating. We're talking with Jack Friedler of Cityview Commercial. We're going to take a short commercial break. Back with you here on 77 WABC in a moment.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best, Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back. Thank you again for tuning in to this edition of Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. Also, a reminder to follow me on social media to find out the latest, to be from those that find out first of who our next interviewees will be on a weekly basis. You can also listen to all the past shows by going to WABCBizRadio.com. You'll see there a link for the archived shows. Alternatively, you could get it on your phone, on your iPhone. Go to iTunes Store, type in Yitzchok Saftlas, Yitzchok Saftlas, and you'll have access to all the previous shows with some of the really great business stars out there in today's world, and you'll have access to all that. Well, we have a couple minutes left, Jack, and before we get to the wrap-up of the Global Shop booth that we did for Edison Litho, question. We touched on it before. Technology is affecting every business in the world in one way or the other. Well, you talked about Uber a moment ago. What are some of the tools that the real estate industry uses, that some of the latest, greatest little gadgets or tools that are out there?
Well, real estate is now really trying landlords such as myself, mall owners. Obviously, there are mall owners. There's a handful of the biggest mall owners in the country, Simon Malls, General Growth, CBL, Westfield. Most of the malls are under the leadership of a few companies. And what they realize is that it's shopping is all about convenience, okay? So they're coming up with their own technology now. And I've been hearing this from other retailers. I actually just invested in a company, an algorithm that you walk into the store, you could scan the product and get the ratings behind the product and understand what the product is. There are a lot of different mall managers, mall operators that have that have an app that if you want to buy something, I want to buy a pair of shoes, it says which stores you can go to. It shows you the point of technology. And the point of our business is to make it as convenient as possible, and that's what's going on in malls. And you're going to start seeing it more and more to make the customer, to make the experience as easy as possible.
Wow. Now I want to jump to the real estate industry in general. We all know that, unfortunately, it was severely affected by the recession 07, 08, and the real estate part got zapped early on.
Right, right, right.
It's 8 years later now. What's the status of the relationships between real estate investors, companies, and the banks?
Right. So as we touched on this before, I just feel, there's a famous line one of my partners told me. There's the sheep and there's the shepherd. The sheep get slaughtered, okay? Meaning if you're going to follow what everyone else is doing without really understanding why you're doing it, eventually it's going to catch up with you. You may get lucky, but eventually catch up. Now, obviously bankers are very, very intelligent people, but you all see banks just always headed in the same direction. They get excited about New York City real estate. They're lending all the money in New York City real estate. They get excited about industrial. They'll lend on industrial and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, the way it works in the banking industry are many loans are, they're sold off on Wall Street and they're sold to another bank. Right. So their focus isn't even the long-term home. They just want to know that they could close this loan so they could sell the loan. Right. And that creates a big real estate problem because in 07, 08, that's what happened. Everyone was, before that, everyone was getting a loan. And, when the money's there from the banks, they're giving you the ability to buy the property. So I think today we're having the same problem. I do think that the whole excitement of today's real estate market is fueled on low interest rates, and that's why your debt is lower. So your cost of debt is lower, so you could pay more money for a property.
Interesting.
And but I do think it is very important not to be a sheep, be a shepherd. Do not do something. Oh, my friend bought a property and did well. Why did your friend buy a property? Oh, Manhattan's on fire. Why is Manhattan on fire? I could tell you. Manhattan's on fire because there is real growth in Manhattan. There are you walk the streets of Manhattan. How many people do you hear talking English?
Yeah,
there's just so many tourists coming in to New York City.
Right.
Hotels are up, going up on every single corner. So there's real
growth
in New York City. So now that I understand there's growth, people are saying, I'm buying a property in Manhattan right now. People are saying, why are you buying in Manhattan? It's at the tip of the market. It's at the tip of the market if you don't understand the market. If you understand the value of the market and understand what's happening in New York City, there's tremendous opportunity here.
Fascinating. Just a question. Do you want to handicap what's going to be with the interest rate in the coming months?
Well, that's not my area of expertise. Okay. But, you know, I could tell you one thing. If they higher the interest rate, the economy is going to go bust. Ouch. I mean, the real estate market is really helping the economy today. It's really a force in today's economy. Mm. And I think the feds know if the interest rates do go up, it's going to affect
them. And you see for how long
so
they've kept it suppressed.
Yes.
No question.
But, you know, eventually it's going to. You can't keep it at such a low rate. Yeah. So,
as we approach the close with this fascinating interview with Jack Friedler, if you're just tuning in now, you will be able to hear it usually by Monday afternoon. It's up. Again, you can go to WABCBizRadio.com, or you can go straight to the iTunes store, type in Yitzchak Saftless, and it will come up. Question. There's a big real estate mogul in the news these days, and that is Donald Trump. Let me ask you some questions. Just as someone who does real estate like yourself, how do you see someone in the White House, or how do you see the nation benefiting by having a president that has real estate experience? I mean, is there any collaboration, or that's – I'm just trying to make up something here.
No, there's definitely collaboration. A leader is a leader, as you know. You've met many different people from many different industries, so a leader is a leader. And if he's successful in one business, you know – it does shed light that he could be successful somewhere else. So that's as much as I can say. Obviously, I don't know how it works in the White House. But I will tell you one thing. And you look at the debates, everyone is faulting Donald Trump for his failures, and he's trying to defend his failures and talk about his successes. Now, as I watch it, I don't judge him by his successes. I actually respect him because of his failures. Donald Trump failed tremendously in many different areas. He did. It's a fact. Look at Atlantic City. He failed. He filed bankruptcy. In many different areas, he failed. But he was not a loser. He was a winner, like he calls himself. And he successfully renegotiated his debt with his bank. He did what he had to do, and he was successful in his business. Now, I look at a guy like Donald Trump, and I say, that is somebody that has true qualities of leadership. If somebody could steer his way out of tremendous, tremendous hard times. Don't forget, Donald Trump, you know, lost when you're losing in the hundreds of millions at a time, and you're able to save that and turn that into billions. That is a sign of a true successful man, and that's why he's someone that intrigues me. And I think, to your point, I think that would be. That would be a very, very good person to run the country.
Interesting. You're saying that is a very valuable experience for someone to have,
exactly.
To have experienced it and dealt with challenges and came through on the up and up afterwards.
You know, sometimes I have investors that always had money and they just don't know what it means to go through a hard time. It's very hard to do business with them. You really need a resilient investor. You really have every person who's successful in the real estate person is resilient and has overcome hardships as in any other business.
That's a great point.
Yes.
Now, here's another just to talk about, because America is fascinated by now by how Donald Trump is still holding up there in the polls. He's known as a great negotiator. No one could take that away from him. We'll talk about the experience of being a great negotiator or how America can benefit by having such a tough, experienced negotiator.
Right. I think negotiations on a simple level are looked at as one thing. It's really a game of leverage, right?
Okay.
If I am a bank and I could foreclose on you and you have nothing to offer, the bank has the leverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they say? If you borrow $1 million from the bank, you're in trouble. If you borrow $10 million from the bank, they're in trouble.
Yeah,
you
right,
know,
right.
The point is that really it's a game of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
But the key to being a successful negotiator is learning how to negotiate when you have no cards on the table. We're learning how to negotiate when you have no leverage. And it really boils down to what I said before, understanding people. A lot of times, you know, you can negotiate a great deal, but if you're not understanding who you're negotiating with, it doesn't help. So I think, now again, I don't know Donald Trump. I've just seen him. But he is a great negotiator. And I'll tell you why he's a great negotiator. For another reason why the country doesn't like him, and I do. He doesn't build any buildings. Don't you know that? Nobody knows that. He doesn't build. He's a brand. He puts his name on a building. You know, there's so many. He's going to all these different countries. They're begging him to put his name. That's the beauty of his negotiations. He's a wealthy man growing his wealth without any risk. That is a good negotiator. Now, if he's going to be negotiating with Iran, if he's going to be negotiating with other countries, can he still be a good negotiator? That's a very big question, and time will tell. Right. But because of that, I don't think he'll end up being the ultimate candidate. I think negotiating with people from totally, totally, totally different parts of the world are a lot more difficult than negotiating a real estate in New York City.
Wow. Well, Jack, it was a real treat to have you here in studio. Someone of your stature, and so again, 5 million square feet being leased around the country. This is pretty big stuff. Any final thoughts for our audience?
So we talked about a lot. We talked about technology. We talked about retail. We talked about real estate. So how do I sum it up in one sentence? And I think the way I look at it is as follows. Mm-hmm. Never let competition bring you down. It should make you grow. When you have a store and another store opens that sells the same product, sell better product. And specifically when it comes to technology and today. Don't let technology... don't be intimidated by technology. Don't be intimidated by all these new things coming across the platform. Learn from it and embrace it, and that's the true way you're going to grow. Because if you could take the experience that you have together with the experience other people had, that creates opportunity.
Such a great point, yeah. Jack. Such a great point, because so many times people get intimidated by those things.
Yeah.
You're saying, don't be intimidated. Study them. Learn the vitamins that you can get out of it, and then grow and do your own thing.
I always say to my malls, tenants always complain, Jack, you're putting in another retailer. He's going to take me out of business. Think like a customer. The customer wants variety. They need variety.
They have a
it
bunch.
Does help you. All these Brings things all. Are tools for us, and we have to take each tool. It's like, you know, you have certain people that still don't send emails because there weren't emails in their days. They can't do business anymore. You can't do business. But understand there's emails today. So we grew up in – some people have grown up in a generation without emails. Understand it. I know people in their 80s now sending me beautiful emails, Excel spreadsheets, investors. I'm like, how did you learn that? They're like, listen, it is what it is. This is where we are today, and that's what I want to close with. Please, everybody, whoever's out there, this is so important. Whenever you're faced with a challenge, whenever you have something, it's an opportunity. They are all opportunities for us to grow.
Jack, we cannot thank you enough. Again, Jack Friedler, president of the Cityview Commercial, for sharing really great perspective and advice on the real estate market and in general here on the Mind Your Business program in 77 WABC. Jack, best of luck in all your endeavors.
Thank you so much. Pleasure being here.
Well, and now we go as we approach the close of the program. This part is no less important than that is we're going to have a quick look at the trade show booth we did for Edison Litho, and Pesach's going to join me here. Pesach, let's talk about it.
At Bottom Line, we often get asked how to make an effective trade show booth. Today, as Yitzhak mentioned, we want to talk about how we were able to win the most prestigious award from the International Interior Design Association and Design Retail Magazine of the Best in Show Booth Award.
Mm-hmm.
This was presented at Global Shop, which is a trade show for retail design and shopper marketing, and it's held every year in Las Vegas, Nevada. So a longtime client of ours, Edison Litho and Printing, who are one of the leading companies in wide format printing, displays, and they service the retail, product manufacturing, entertainment, packaging, they've been attending the show for years. This year, they wanted their booth to be something different, something
very
outstanding.
Different.
Yeah, like they really wanted to make an impact. Mm-hmm. We set on a mission to create something really unique and to somehow, within that booth, directly showcase all the strengths and services that Edison Litho offers.
Mm-hmm.
We knew this was going to be a big challenge, mainly because the trade show, which is over 700 booths there,
mm-hmm.
is a design-centric show.
Very much
where
very
all
much
the companies...
Each one is one out does the
exactly.
Next.
And a lot of them are tremendous
over
international brands that have a strong presence there.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to create an experience, which is experiential marketing. We broke down, we identified the challenge into three key components.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to create excitement and draw visitors to the booth, which is obviously key for every trade show. We wanted them, when coming to the booth, to then generate leads for Edison to then approach after the show.
Right, that's the point of the show.
And to increase the brand, in this case being Edison Litho, their brand's awareness on social media. So we had identified our goals for this show.
Great.
So what was our solution? Edison Litho has been in business for over 55 years, and they have a incredible reputation.
Right.
So we wanted to use that. The fact they've been in business for so long, we wanted to showcase that and bring that point out to the show, to the all the participants, all the vendors there, and all the potential business that was that would be at the show. So what better way to do that than to say, okay, instead of thinking about making a modern kind of sleek look, let's turn the thing upside down.
You mean like a retro.
Let's go retro. We created a complete concept around going retro and vintage for the booth. We built a sign, a drive-in sign, because we wanted to go with a diner. Diner is iconic, which represents
the 50s,
exactly. Yeah, so we decided to do this retro diner look, and we built a complete look of complete with tiled floors and a bar counter and a drive-in counter and a drive-in sign with neon lighting. But the real key here was to also be able to really showcase what the brand can do, Edison mm-hmm. Litho. Mm-hmm. So together with the team at Edison, which is a fantastic team, we actually created all these items in-house mm-hmm. using their substrates, using their printing capabilities.
Sure.
So when people came by the booth, they were first caught by the fact that this is the retro theme, highlighting the fact you're 55 years in business. Secondly, they were, wow, this is actually, you guys printed this? This is unbelievable. There was a jukebox that actually played music. Everything was made in-house, produced, designed by Bottom Line, but then produced in-house by the team
by Edison.
So that was really, accomplished our two goals right off the cuff. But then we also wanted to increase the social media awareness
right.
of the event. So how are we going to tie that in? Mm-hmm. We figured something like this memorable and this out of the box, we could easily create a photo experience. And we partnered with a company based in Las Vegas called Joy Squad, who did a great job. And they came with a team, and we worked with them to develop the concept of having instant photos being taken. And they supplied all types of innovative stuff to make it a great time. So we had all three things out, and the booth was a tremendous success, and ultimately winning the best in show award which is one of the most prestigious awards out there for our show.
So that's fascinating. Meaning obviously we're very proud of it, but we did accomplish the retro aspect with cutting edge technology, which of course the Edison Litho represents that.
Right, and then on top of that, we generated buzz in social media, so it was an all around hit and leads, and we were really happy with how that turned out. So,
now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if someone wants to learn about this or even see pictures of it, it's up online.
Yes, we have it up on our website. You can check it out on our
bottomlinemg.com. Bottomlinemg.com. So I believe on the site there are pictures of it.
Yes, all the details and
a full case study. Booth like this that wins Best of Show, there's so much detail even beyond what we're describing here on air.
Yes, exactly. So I think to sum up the three bottom line action steps for this is identify what sets your company apart from the rest, create a memorable and positive experience, and give the customer a creative way to interact with your brand.
Just fascinating. Great wrap-up. Thank you very, very much, Pesach, for that great wrap-up of Edison Litho and the booth that won Best of Show in the Global Shop 2015. I want to use the last remaining minute or two here on the air to invite people to go to the archives of this show. Matt Britton, the CEO of MRY, was a guest. His interview's there on the iTunes channel. Yitzhak Saftlis, you just type it in by iTunes, you'll hear it. Captain Sully Sullenberger, that was an incredible interview. He talked about that experience and the experiences from it and what he learned from it. Stephen Aldridge, Senior Vice President at GoDaddy. Sol Friedman and Simeon Friedman from Sol Friedman & Company on all types of business strategy and advice. Ira Zlotowicz, President of Eastern Union Funding. Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Pratt on the November team. Ken Romanzi, the former COO of Ocean Spray Cranberries. Josh Moore, General Manager at Uber. What about last week's guest? Jeffrey Hazlett, global business celebrity, speaker, and best-selling author. So many others. If you're just want to hear some great business advice to get you ahead in today's world, Tune in every Sunday night, 77 WABC. That is the place that you could hear this great business advice. And if you go to the website, WABCBizRadio.com, that's WABCBizRadio.com, you'll be able to access all the podcasts of the past shows. And really, this is just a great show. Again, special thank you to Jack Friedler from City View Commercial. Special thank you to my producer, Pesach Trapper. Excellent show as always. We want to wish everyone a great weekend. And tune in again next Sunday night at 11 p.m. for the Mind Your Business show with Yitzhak Saftless here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saftless. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saftless has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.